Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Wednesday. This is our final show of this year. Come in, stay a while, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. Todd has, I would say back by popular demand. It's not popular and it's not by demand, but Todd will have his Christmas sports-related names coming up next hour. Oh, it's one of the great painful traditions of the Dan Patrick Show. And Todd and I were talking during the break. Well, I was listening. I tend to listen when we have the commercial breaks, and Todd will just talk. And he says, what's your favorite moment this year? And then he proceeded to tell me all of his favorite moments, and then I didn't get to answer it.
You didn't.
But I don't know what my favorite moment was this year.
There's too many. That's a good thing. But you can't narrow it down. When we had so many awesome moments throughout the year that you can't pinpoint one, that means things are good.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
All right. Yes, Pauline.
One is not going to be like hijinks and fun and in any way kind of a positive, but when Kobe Bryant passed away Super Bowl week, I think the news broke maybe 2 or 3 in the afternoon on Sunday. Our Super Bowl week and everyone's Super Bowl week shows are packed up with fun guests and Drew Brees and Dan Marino and so forth. And we went out to dinner that night and talked it over. And then we got up in the morning and worked on the show to be more of a show covering and Kobe Bryant's passing and more of a tribute show. And we were able to find the interview you did with Kobe, I think, right after he retired. And it was really good. And he did talk about his daughter in the first 2 minutes of the interview. We didn't even remember that he did.
Yeah.
And to replay that interview where he talked about wanting to be a businessman and wanting, he had just won that award for his documentary. That's why we had him on. And he talked about a lot of things about the future and wanted to be a mogul and wanted to be in media and do things. And hearing that interview the next morning, I thought it was a good call. And the way we treated that show and adjusted, and like everyone did, was very well.
Yeah, I think having a relationship with Kobe and being able to bring that back, and the fact that he brought up Gigi, that he had, you know, this incredible relationship with his oldest daughter, you know, with basketball, going to games, and you know, the fact that they both, you know, tragically died in the helicopter crash. But to have that and just hear the voice again, where you're not hearing a basketball player Hall of Famer, you're hearing a dad. And I think that was what my goal was, bring back a person, not a thing. And Kobe, the basketball player, is more of a thing, whereas Kobe, the dad, is a person. And to be able to do that and just let people hear that voice again was really the key. And there are times, you know, there's so much ebb and flow with this show of real high highs and goofy and crazy. And then you got to be sensitive and trying to find that line of how much is enough, how much is not enough. you go too far, not far enough. But to be able to discuss it with the Danettes, and, you know, that's a great sounding board to have. I don't make all the decisions. I always tell the Danettes, it's a democratic society that we have in here, but it's a dictatorship when I get on the show because I have to do it. But I give everybody that opportunity to tell me what they saw, what they liked, a guest, an opinion, a segment. And to be able to do that and have an audience understand what we're trying to do every single day. We laugh at ourselves. We laugh at ourselves far more than anybody else can. But that's part of the fun of this show. We'll laugh at ourselves before you get that opportunity. But that doesn't mean that we don't let you, don't welcome it, don't expect it. It's like McLovin said, boy, you should see what people are saying about your sweater on Twitter. I go, I don't care. Like, if you're not making fun of it, then move on. Like, I expect that. You're invested in the show. I view the audience as another Danette. And that's a lot of Danettes. You got millions of other Danettes out there. And, you know, I want you to be part of the program. Feel that you're part of the program. You know, when people offer, you know, they ask questions, they want me to offer up advice on parenting or whatever it might be. You know, we had that Seth in Colorado being around his in-laws, can't be home for the holidays. You know, that's investing in the show and what we, as we, who we are as people. And we appreciate that. We have fun and we'll never stop having fun. Even when this show is over, we'll never stop having fun at each other's expense. But, you know, it's been a very, you know, I'm lucky to have the same people do this for, what, 13 years. In this business, that doesn't happen. And to have relationships and friendships that have grown because of it, I don't know why I'm getting a little sappy here.
I like that side of you.
I know, but I don't like that side
of
me.
Well, there's other things to attend to. We have another 2 hours of sports talk.
Yeah, I got it.
It's the time of the year where you're supposed to open up like that.
The Duttons are back, Yellowstone Season 3. Kevin Costner streaming now exclusively on Peacock.
Speaking of families and good get-togethers.
Ooh,
emotion.
Yeah.
That'd be a happy Christmas in that house, huh?
Yeah. Peacock, all three seasons streaming now on Peacock. And we say good morning to our TV partners, Peacock, and also our radio partners, the great radio affiliates we have around the country, and the great folks at Fox Sports Radio, Don Martin and Scott Shapiro in particular, who've done a wonderful job behind the scenes, making sure that we remain the number one sports show in America. Poll question, McLovin, what do you have for me today?
Okay, we tried to put together what are you going to watch on Christmas Day, but the choices aren't great. You have the Vikings, Saints, the Pelicans, Heat, Nets, Celtics, Mavs, Lakers, and the Camellia Bowl featuring your Buffalo college football team against Marshall. So we have 0% of saying the Camellia Bowl yet, but I think that's your choice, right?
The Buffalo Bowls. That's the Buffalo football.
Not the Bills.
It's the Bulls.
Yeah, the team that you always come in on Wednesday and said, hey, I watched Buffalo last night.
Well,
they're playing on Christmas Day.
Yeah. I don't know. Unless you wrote that down, I have no idea what you said as far as the games that are available. So
The Vikings Saints will be the big game. What's the NBA matchup? Who are you curious to see? Zion Williamson plays at noon. Then Nets Celtics, Bucks Warriors, the Clippers play the Nuggets at night, and the Lakers-Mavs.
Oh, Lakers-Mavs will be a lot of fun. That, you know, I'm just curious, you know, do they go out and they're trying to actually shut down Luka Doncic? How does Luka look? You know, he's favored to win the MVP. But the Lakers losing last night, I didn't have one of those visceral reactions like, oh, my God. I mean, I did a little bit with Paul George because he really looked good. But he's supposed to really look good. That's what stands out. When he does really look good, we're surprised. He looked really good last night. Lakers got their rings. They got beat by the Clippers. Here is LeBron James on the championship ring ceremony.
You know, just a culmination of what we've been through, you know, in 2019 to 2020. So many ups and downs, a lot of adversity. Just so many storylines to be able to celebrate that moment with my teammates and our franchise. You know, it was a pretty cool feeling, but at the end of the day, you would definitely love to be able to do that with the fans.
All right, all that matters is LeBron and AD are healthy. If you say they're going to be healthy this entire season, I'm fine. I would have no issues with the expectation level. Everybody, I saw basketball experts, the writers, the media. I don't think I saw anybody who picked anybody other than the Lakers to win the title this year. Now, those that were picking had the Heat in the finals, the Bucks in the finals, 76ers in the finals. I don't know if I saw anybody else in there, but it's across the board, the Lakers. And look, I don't think the Clippers are better. They might be different this year. They got humbled. Now, the question is, what do they do with that humility? Do they internalize it and go, you know, we're the problems here? It's not the media, not Doc Rivers. It's us. We didn't live up to expectations. And if they use it as a positive and as a motivation tool, then maybe there's a chance, you know, that they could do some damage this year. Denver, I know people were surprised yesterday when I said it. You might have been surprised when I told you that the Miami Heat were kicking the tires on James Harden. Now, they since backed away, according to my source, because they don't want to include Bam Adebayo. That's a non-starter for the Heat. They'll give you Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, some draft picks, but they're not giving up Bam Adebayo, who was an all-star. The Nuggets are in this to get James Harden. Now, to what degree? I don't know. They do have some assets there, but the Rockets are going to want a guy that they can say, look at who we got for James Harden. That's why they want Ben Simmons. That's why they want Bam Adebayo. They want somebody to say, through all of this, look at who we got. Like, we're starting out with something new and fresh. Michael Porter Jr. is a name that keeps coming up, believe it or not. He's a fascinating talent, but he's raw. But his name is front and center if James Harden would happen to go to the Nuggets. I don't know if he goes to the Sixers. I don't know if he goes to the Nets. Your guess right now is probably as good as mine. I'm just telling you what I've been told. These aren't Woj bombs. These are just, you know, people who, one works for the Heat, one works for the league office. And, you know, because I always say, just keep me straight here. Because even when I brought up the Miami Heat, and my source said, no, you're right with this. Now, the Heat since said, we're not, no more talks here. They had talks. The Nuggets are involved in it. And it doesn't mean the Celtics won't swoop in, because if you go back to what we talked about with James Harden, we've seen players get traded, and they don't go to the team we think they're supposed to be going to. So Miami and Denver have come out of nowhere. The Nets, oh, he wants to go to the Nets. Sixers, Daryl Morey, reunited with his GM. It's, you got to keep an eye on everybody here, because if you can't get that deal you want with the Nets or the Sixers, can we still get a great deal done with somebody else? And he wants to go to a playoff caliber team. Well, Denver and Miami would satisfy that. All right, so the Lakers get their rings. The Nets rolled over the Warriors. Bowl games, La Tech, Georgia Southern, Memphis, and Florida Atlantic. We'll get some phone calls in here. Booger McFarland will join us on loan from the Mothership. Did you see where Tony Dungy said he ranked Tom Brady as the sixth toughest quarterback he's faced? Now, he's talking about facing, you know, the players, the quarterbacks who can do damage with their legs. So he's on with Shannon Sharp and Shannon's podcast, and he's talking about Peyton Manning, John Elway, Steve Young, Aaron Rodgers. Those are the quarterbacks. They were mobile, and, you know, Tony said that Brady was not, he didn't say, boy, he's easy to stop. It was the extra dimension that mobile quarterbacks present here. But the fact that he thinks Peyton's the greatest quarterback ever because he coached him and he faced Peyton, but Peyton was not mobile. So I don't even know what Tony's logic is with that, because Peyton can't outrun me. And so for him to go, I'm going to put Peyton in there, but that's the sixth toughest quarterback that he ever faced. Tom Brady is sixth on that list. Oh, that's all the motivation Tom needs. Are we going to look back when Tom's there hoisting the trophy, Lombardi trophy? And what was the inspiration here? To prove Belichick wrong or the Patriots or Mr. Craig? No, Tony Dungy ranked me the sixth toughest quarterback that he ever faced. Yeah, Paul.
Peyton Manning makes Brady look like Vic mobility-wise.
Alan, I got some issues with Paul's microphone. I'm hearing it twice. So let's see if we can work on that. What's the poll question we're going with, McLevin?
Well, we started with what do you want to watch this weekend? Actually, on Christmas Day.
Oh, no.
Day.
What was the first hour? Did you start with that?
Yeah, I started with that. The Vikings-Saints game. I want to get into, and you touched on it a lot yesterday, what should the Jets do with the number two pick? Because last night when Zach Wilson was flinging it around, there was a lot of tweets about the Jets and Zach Wilson.
Oh, stop. Stop.
That's what people do.
In Central Florida. What did he do against Coastal Carolina? We see Justin Fields and you go, God, you got to take him. And then I show you a game and you go, oh, wow. Okay, on second thought. There is one great quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. And then after that, it'll be a crapshoot. And I think that that's what people have to understand. I can show you great plays by quarterbacks. And then you go, man, does he look good? And then I can show you plays by the same quarterback, and you go, boy, he's not a finished product here. Mac Jones looks awesome. Might win the Heisman. Is anybody talking about Mac Jones going the second quarterback? And the answer is no. Okay? Trey Lance, man, last year he didn't even throw an interception. They won a national title. And then you see him one game this year, and you go, maybe not. So all I know is Kyle Trask went toe-to-toe with Alabama and lived to tell about it. Like, if you say, all right, big stage against the best team in the country, he did pretty damn well. Trevor Lawrence against the number two team in the country, Notre Dame, he looked pretty good. Yes, McLovin.
Is it fair to say, like, those guys are at least potential first-rounders? Not, like, in the sense that, hey, they could be in the first-round conference. You're not shutting out any of those guys, are you?
No, they'll probably be first-round picks, but it's love is in the eye of the beholder here. What you see, how that fits into your offensive scheme, is it a new head coach? What's he looking for? What's the personnel you have? And I don't even know if the Jets, I don't know if the Jets, if that is an enviable position to be their head coach. Now, they have a ton of cap room, and they have the second pick overall, and it feels like they're on the verge of maybe figuring this out. Now, they missed out on Trevor Lawrence, but they do have talent. And you got a left tackle who's going to be there for a decade. So you start with a left tackle. I still like Sam Darnold over any of these quarterbacks, but if you want to get in that rookie contract, I certainly understand that. I think given a few weapons and Sam Darnold gets some good coaching, then maybe you might see a reclamation project here. But I look at these other quarterbacks and I go, they're just college quarterbacks. I don't know right now. If I'm the Jets, I would certainly entertain trading that pick. If you said I could get a couple of first-round picks and now I can really add to this roster here and whoever's the new – I don't know if Eric Bieniemy looks at the Jets' job and goes, that's still the job that I would take because you don't get Trevor Lawrence. I don't think it's one of the top jobs to get. It feels like it fell back to the middle of the pack. And you're probably going to have six openings here in the offseason. Let me see. Jeff in San Diego. Hey, Jeff, then we'll take a break. Booger McFarland will join us on loan from the mothership.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Just wanted to say I appreciate everything you and the Danettes have done this year. You've been a great companion. You've been talking about some of the best moments of the year, and I remember mine very vividly. You were interviewing Jim Nantz the week that the Masters should have occurred in April, and I was walking my dog listening, and I went from tearing up from the emotional speech that Jim had given about how we were going to be better to tears of laughter when he got locked out when he was outside his backyard in the morning.
Thank you, Jeff. Once again, it's the guests that we have on who understand our show, and the fact that Jim Nantz went outside and we wanted him to hit a shot in his backyard on his par three there that he has and have the Masters music play. And he tried to get back in, and it was probably 7 in the morning, and he couldn't get back in. He was locked down. But, you know, he was a good sport about that. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Did we set a time, Todd, on when you're going to feel comfortable releasing your Christmas sports-related names?
I was thinking the final hour, maybe somewhere later in this hour, for the anticipation that you guys can't wait to hear what I've come up with in some of the oldies but goodies.
You know what I'm thinking? Fourth hour of the show.
Fourth hour?
Yeah. I think the fourth hour.
I think we're off the air at that point.
That's right. Now, we'll figure it out. I just want to give people a heads up here. Now, if somebody calls in, let's say Sandler, Larry David, those are Jets fans. You know, we reached out to them. What if they call Barkley? You get bumped.
I would really get bumped by those guys for the holiday names? I'm not following.
So if Larry David called in.
Obviously, I would take a major backseat to any of those names.
Now, are you trying to book good guests in the final hour?
I might not be pushing as hard as I normally would so that I don't get bumped.
All right. We're going to find a spot because you know what? America needs this.
They do.
This year more than any year.
Silliness, happiness, laughter, whatever we could do to just feel a little
None of those will be had during this. That's what America needs.
I'm going to be providing misery and confusion.
Yeah, yeah.
Disdain.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up here on the Dan Patrick Show back after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This award-nominated program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Their Sprinter van is awesome. They drove it all the way in. Actually, they had a semi that brought it into the man cave, and we got a chance to see it a couple of days ago. It's great, and you could win it. It is ready for you. Visit FoxSportsRadio.com or DanPatrick.com by January 24th, and you can win this. No purchase necessary. Mercedes-Benz vans. I was looking at some of the best of 2020. Ariel came up with a list, and there's so many great moments on here. I'm going to run down some of those moments here in a little bit. I'll get to more phone calls as well. Let's bring in Booger McFarland, the ESPN NFL analyst and part of ESPN's college football and NFL coverage. Booger, good to see you. How are you?
I'm outstanding, DP. What's going on, buddy?
Well, I'm trying to understand your former coach, Tony Dungy's logic. He said that Tom Brady is the sixth toughest quarterback that he had to face here. Now, I don't know if I'm missing out on something because he is talking about quarterbacks that have mobility, but he includes Peyton Manning in there. And Booger, Peyton Manning doesn't have mobility here. So does Tony really think that Tom Brady is the sixth toughest quarterback to defend?
Well, I think that's a question that you probably have to ask TD. TD probably has his reasons for that. You know, Tom being in New England for 20 years, you hate to use the term system quarterback, DP, but he understood that system so well and he played to it. And I guarantee you, if you ask Tony, playing that system over and over, you got used to it. You knew what the checks were. You knew where the ball was going to go. You knew how Tom Brady was going to play. So maybe that lends to Tony saying, okay, I don't know if he's that difficult to prepare for because I know exactly what he's going to do. The key to it is just, can we go out and execute and stop it?
Okay. Would you rather face Brady or Manning at their peak?
Wow. Probably Tom Brady, because Peyton Manning did so much at the line of scrimmage. Not that Tom doesn't, but Manning called the game pretty much from the line. Tom Brady was more conventional. So he was huddled, come to the line. He may check every now and then, but you were going to get the game in rhythm. Peyton Manning was so much out of rhythm because as a defensive lineman, he made you get on the ball and just stand there and wait while he's Omaha and rabbit and ice cream and all the other stuff that he's saying. Like, I got to get out in the stance and wait, okay? Like, I can't just catch a couple of deep breaths. Whereas with Brady, when Brady's in the huddle, man, I can grab some water. I can tuck my shirt in. I can make sure that my butt crack's not showing. Like, I can do all the things that defensive linemen do.
But what is it about Brady in the final 2 minutes of a game that he's just different than almost any quarterback we've ever seen?
He's got ice water in his veins, DP. And the great ones look forward to the challenge of having that opportunity in the final 2 minutes. You know, some quarterbacks can relish the opportunity. Some can perform in the opportunity. It's almost as if Brady says, okay, I'm going to prepare for the rest of the game. But my mindset is always pointing to, I want the ball in my hands under 2 minutes. We're down four. We need a touchdown. I want that opportunity because the great ones know that in order to become great, you have to perform in those moments. Like, anybody can do it in the first quarter when the game's not on the line. But if you want to be considered one of the great ones, you have to do it. It's kind of like in basketball. We look at LeBron, Kobe, all the great ones differently when they hit the game winners. Like, you can't be considered a great one until you hit, it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you hit the shot. Then we can put you in a different category where it's no different than in football. You got to take that team down the field and score in that drive. Like, you got to perform in a game seven in baseball. It's like our memory doesn't put you in stone or concrete until you do it in those moments.
What's the craziest thing you've ever heard at the line of scrimmage?
probably was against Carson Palmer. So Carson Palmer was quarterback in the Bengals, and it's a Monday night, and it's I want to say it's late December. And, of course, everybody's banged up, and I'm banged up and tired. And Carson Palmer comes up, and he's going no huddle, and he's checking. He's like, hey, let's go to Las Vegas. Check, check. No, no, no. No, let's go back. Let's go to New York. J-Lo, New York, ready? And so he's calling all these audibles. And about the fourth play of the drive, it kind of dawned on me, wait, if he's saying a West Coast city, then he's running to the left. If he's saying an East Coast city, he's running to the right. And so when he says Vegas, it's run left. When he says New York, it's run right. And I was like, so all this credit that guys like you give these quarterbacks for all this great and being cerebral, here's the quarterback with the most simplistic audible system I've ever heard in my life.
Did you tell your teammates?
No, because I wanted to make every play. Man. At some point, you have to be selfish, because if I make more plays, that means I can ask for more money with my contract.
No, I get it. Okay, is the Jets' job when it's open a good job or a great job? Now that they don't get Trevor Lawrence.
It's a good job, because I think Joe Douglas has done an outstanding job of drafting, and especially in the last draft class. I think there are a couple of jobs that are better if and when, and I'm not going to fire anybody, but there's a lot of speculation that the Chargers job is going to come open. That may be the best job on the market if it does come open, because of the quarterback, because of what you have with Bosa and Ingram on defense. You have Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. Like, you have a team that if the ball bounces their way, they could have won four or five more games this year.
I know.
I think the second best job that's going to be open, that is open, is the Houston Texans job, because of the quarterback. Now, the only reason Houston is not first is because they got so much work to do on defense. And, you know, when J.J. Watt's your best player on defense, he's a Hall of Fame player, three-time defensive player of the year. But let's face it, he's not what he was. And so I think those are the top two jobs. Now, if the Jets somehow finagle and get the number one pick, I would bump them back up. Because if you got Trevor Lawrence with all the draft capital that they have and Joe Douglas, who seems to be a really, really good judge of talent, then that job really becomes attractive.
I'm going to make you the Jets GM right now, and you're on the clock with the number two pick overall. What are you doing?
I am looking at my phone, seeing if the phone is going to ring. Because if the phone rings for somebody who wants a quarterback, then I'm going to deal. I'm going to keep Sam Darnold. I'm going to pick up the fifth-year option, because Sam Darnold is not broken. Sam Darnold is a very good quarterback, and with the right offensive mind, I think Sam Darnold can be outstanding. Adam Gase has proven us. As a matter of fact, Adam Gase told us with his own words, he failed Sam Darnold. So Sam Darnold is not broken. I just think the reason people were tying Trevor Lawrence to the Jets is because we all think that Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent. But I'm keeping Sam Darnold. I'm trying to get a litany of picks. And if I can't get a litany of picks, then what I probably do, I probably take either Jamar Chase or the tackle. I'm going to take, when I say the tackle, Penei Sewell out of Oregon. I'm going to take somebody that's going to boost my offense to help Sam Darnold if I don't get a trade partner at number two.
We're talking to Booger McFarland. You can see him on ESPN's college football coverage and their NFL coverage as well. You know, you start to look at the playoff scenarios here, and we might have a team have, 11 wins and not make the playoffs here, which is pretty crazy. If you were going to let's look at the AFC, the number of teams, let's take out the Chiefs, the number of teams that you go, they can win the Super Bowl.
Buffalo is one, Tennessee is two, Indianapolis three. It sounds crazy not to say Pittsburgh, but how can you say Pittsburgh the way they've looked the last 3 weeks? And quite frankly, you know, I said this on our pregame show a couple of weeks ago, Pittsburgh has a softness problem. Like, they're very soft, especially on the offensive line. And, you know, they kind of got in an uproar when I said that. But then the head coach, Mike Tomlin, came out and said there was a lack of physicality. Ben Roethlisberger said there was a lack of physicality. It's a team that's trying to play an offense in which they're not familiar how to play. It's four or five wide. They're trying to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, but they got a quarterback – and Ben Roethlisberger that, I mean, let's face it, he's on hole 16. He's getting ready to come down the 16th fairway. And it's like, hey, big fella, you ain't got long left. And he knows it, and everybody knows it. And for them to play at a high level, They're going to have to run the football, but they can't, Dan. You know. And that's the issue. So, you know, my short list of teams after Kansas City would be, obviously, you know, Tennessee, Indy, Buffalo would probably be the three other than Kansas City that I would lean on.
Yeah, the thing with the Steelers, you know, and then Ben says he wants to come back. Who's more likely to be back with their team, Ben or Phillip Rivers?
More likely, Ben.
And Drew Brees.
Well, I believe Drew Brees is going to be your colleague and work for NBC, Peacock, whatever you want to call it. I think that's where he's going. I think Phillip wants to go coach high school football. That's why I think he signed a one-year deal. I think, you know, Big Ben's coming back, man. Big Ben's got $30 million that's sitting there that, I mean, it's kind of free money. Like, they're not going to cut him. He's a legend. He can kind of go cherry pick, kind of like some of the great basketball players do. He can average, you know, 10 points and 3 rebounds and get $25 million. So, I mean, if I were him, that's what I'd do.
But if you're the Steelers, do you want him back?
What's your alternative? Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges?
Well, they're gonna get rid of those guys. But if you said that you could get Sam Darnold,
I think you ask Ben to retire if you could get Sam Darnold, because Sam Darnold can be your quarterback for 10 years. To me, Dan, here's the quarterback carousel. Watch this now.
Okay.
Let's just say somehow the Jets get the first pick. So now Sam Darnold is now being traded. Let's just say Sam Darnold is traded. Or he goes to Indy, or maybe Sam Darnold goes to San Francisco, because we know they're not necessarily sold on Jimmy. Where does Jimmy G go? Does Jimmy G go to New England? Okay. You see how one pick can change the entire outlook of this league, because there could be a lot of quarterbacks on the move. What if Arthur Blank and the new coach decide we want to move away from Matt Ryan? I could see Matt Ryan going to San Francisco. Then where does Jimmy G go? So I think the quarterback carousel is going to be really interesting. And we thought last year was interesting. I think this offseason, with the quarterbacks that could be on the move potentially, is going to be way more intriguing than it was last year.
You think Cam is one and done in New England?
Yes, because I think Cam and New England both had a vested interest in this season. They both needed each other, and they both have failed. Cam Newton needed New England because he needed to prove that he could still be a high-level starting quarterback in the National Football League in hopes of getting a huge deal. He has not done that. He's still bouncing balls to receivers, overthrowing receivers. His best trait is his physicality, and you wonder how long that can last. New England needed to see, can Cam do it? Because we have to find the heir apparent to Tom Brady. And Josh McDaniel and Bill Belichick in a private moment will probably tell you that they weren't able to maximize and get the best out of Cam. Josh can't be who Josh wants to be with a guy who's limited as a passer. So I think they both failed each other.
Do you understand Sean Payton's fixation on Taysom Hill?
I do, because I think in Sean Payton's mind, he sees what a lot of these offensive coordinators have right now, a dual threat quarterback that can hurt you with his legs. The problem is Taysom hasn't gotten enough reps throwing the football. And the only way you get reps is, guess what? You got to put him in the game. And we didn't have a preseason this year. Didn't have really off season. And so Taysom Hill needs reps. To me, it's going to really come down to after, because I think Drew Brees is going to retire. When Drew Brees retires, I think Sean Payton is going to name Taysom Hill as starting quarterback. He's going to get an entire offseason, mini camp, training camp, preseason, if we do have a preseason, and he's going to give him every opportunity. And if he fails at that point, then he'll move on. But I do think he's invested a lot of time and effort into making Taysom Hill what his mind says Taysom can be, which is the second coming of Steve Young.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that.
He tells everybody that, right?
Yeah, but he's not, because Steve has wonderful touch. Taysom wasn't a great passer in college. And it's not like you go, I wasn't very good in college as a passer, but I'm going to get better in the NFL as a passer. I mean, that
Josh Allen did.
Yeah, I think Josh had mechanics. I think he had some. And plus, if you saw the Wyoming roster and you saw the weather they played in, then I can at least go, okay. You know, a lot of it's decision making. A lot of it's that I got to throw a receiver open in college. Like, imagine Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State.
Right.
He didn't have to throw anybody open. Justin Fields, you know, like it's hard to really handicap and go, I don't know how good these guys are. And with Josh Allen, he probably is learning to throw, you know, guys open here, and he's done a great job this year.
And to your point, Dan, Josh Allen has gotten better. Mechanics, whether play a part, you know, you bring up Justin Fields, and I think people are going to be shocked when they really get into the Justin Fields tape, how similar he is to, yes, he's more athletic than Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
Way more athletic. However, from a passing standpoint, he's going to resemble Haskins a lot. The anticipation is just a step slow. His ability to throw guys open is a step slow. I think Zach Wilson out of BYU may be the second quarterback taken, and I think a lot of people will be shocked by that because all along it's been Trevor or Justin, Trevor or Justin. I think when it's all said and done, it's going to be Trevor, probably Zach Wilson, maybe even a Mac Jones behind that. I don't think Justin Fields is being helped based on when you look at how Dwayne Haskins is performing coming out of that same system.
What's in those cabinets behind you?
So the one over this shoulder, I got a lot of Apple products in there. So I got some extra, like some old iPads, iPhones, et cetera. This cabinet, I have extra checkbooks because I'm still old school. So I don't do everything by ACH or auto pay. Like I still write checks. So I got checks in that cabinet. I got some vitamins up there because when I'm in the office, I forget to take my vitamins there up there. So this is kind of a multi-purpose cabinet.
Right. Yeah, we got to do something in the background. I got to get some, you got to dress it up a little bit. There should be a picture of the one NFL touchdown that you had.
Yes. The problem is I was so out of breath. The only picture I have of that touchdown, literally my shirt is pulled up, like my guts hanging out. And I mean, seriously, because it was in Atlanta. It was sack calls, fumble, falling the ball in Atlanta against Michael Vick. And it was so funny. The only thing I thought about was I have to come right back on the field because I scored the touchdown and our defense is going back on the field. That's the mind of a defensive lineman. It's not celebrate. It's not do a TikTok on the logo. It's, hey, let's go get some water and get ready to come back on the field.
And you're trying to track down Michael Vick.
Exactly.
You know, Kyler Murray, I think, is quicker than Mike. I think Mike might be faster. Kyler Murray has that acceleration. He gets to a different gear, I think, quicker than anybody I've ever seen at that position.
Yes, I would agree with you, and he has to. He's 5'8", 5'9", whatever you want to call it. He's not 6 feet tall. So he's got to use his attributes to help him. And I think when he struggled over the last, couple of weeks,
yeah,
his ability or a team's ability to keep him in the pocket. So if I'm going against Kyler Murray, Dan, watch what the Patriots did to him. The Patriots didn't allow him outside the pocket. And it's very similar to Baker Mayfield. If you just keep Baker Mayfield in the confines of that pocket, he's going to struggle more times than not because these guys are not very big. Now, the coaching staffs know that. So what does Kevin Stefanski do? What does Cliff Kingsbury do? I'm going to get these guys outside the pocket on the edge where they can see. Imagine if you were trying to drive a car and you couldn't see. Like, you couldn't drive at all. So, like, these dudes have rare traits, but they got to be able to be put in position to use those traits.
It's great to talk to you. You brought it today. We appreciate it. I didn't expect anything less. Booger, part of ESPN's college football NFL coverage. Merry Christmas to you, bud, and we hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Always, man. Love you, pal. You take it easy. Tell the Danettes I said hello.
That's Booger McFarland. We'll take a break. We're back after this. Your phone calls and some of our best moments of the year.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday night, Titans, Packers, 7 Eastern, only on NBC. Booger McFarland was good. A lot of fun there. A couple of phone calls. Kyle in California. Kyle, thanks for waiting. Thanks for joining us.
What up, DP? I took Seton's advice this morning for Stuck in Colorado for some gummies for Fritzy's holiday names. I'm just begging you, Fritzy. I want to know who half these people are. Can we make them athletes post the year 2000? Is that too much to ask? I want to know any of these guys.
Okay.
And seems like about last night, about the Lakers. You know, they're going to be fine. It was game. It looked like every regular season game from last year. Missed going 1 or 2 from the line, late requirement. You know what I'm not concerned of for the Clippers? Kevin Harlan going, and Kawhi Leonard hitting a trailing Nicholas Batum. I think we're going to be all right.
Thank you, Kyle. Merry Christmas. Some of the best moments from 2020. Mario surveyed the room, and everybody weighed in on some of the best moments. The Danettes taking pies simultaneously. Our debut on Peacock, our debut on YouTube. We got to sing for Michael Bublé. Charles Barkley compares Draymond Green to the least popular member of NSYNC. Adam Sandler offers McLovin a movie role. Nick Saban confirms D's Nuts story. Todd's Bagelgate. Oh, gosh. Emmy night when we lost, when we did a show here. Mike Tyson when he made an appearance. Todd interrupts Marv Albert. When I told Todd that I love you, but I don't like you. Phil Mickelson showing off his calves. Herm Edwards' interview was great. We were threatened by Tom Brady's legal team that we were going to get sued.
Still have the paperwork. Still have it.
His name is Tom.
Let's see. McLovin dominates Todd's Thanksgiving. There's so many on here. I can't get to all of them. I was named to the NSMA Hall of Fame, the Sports Writers and Broadcasters Hall of Fame. We had so many moments. We look back. There are times when we... And Rob, our intern here, has done a wonderful job with the look-ins on Peacock, where they're just flashback memories. And there are times when we'll go, I don't remember doing that. There's so many times when we go, wait, did we have him in I don't remember doing that. That's when you know that you've created a lot of content here. Derek in Virginia. Hey, Derek, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy holidays to everybody. I had a question about present etiquette.
Okay.
First of all, my Christmas holiday name is Nat King Cole Beasley. But my present etiquette question is, when do you put the presents out for the kids? Do you do it Christmas Eve? Do you do it Christmas morning?
Well, how old are the kids?
They're 3 and 1, Dan.
You could put it out at any point when they're 3 and 1. It's when they... you know, start to investigate, then you got to be a little bit more clandestine there. But, and by the way, Derek, I don't know why you're saying you put the gifts out. Santa puts the gifts out. We all know that. My daughter slept on the couch and she wanted to make sure she saw Santa, and she would not budge from the couch Christmas Eve.
How'd you deal with it?
We just made sure that Santa was able to get in the house, and he was able to do his job. That's what we did. And then the next morning, when she woke up, she goes, how did I miss him? How was he here? How did I miss him? I don't know, Grace. You did. Final hour coming up. More of your phone calls, Dan and the Danette, Dan Patrick Show.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.